you can have a seat. And good morning and howdy.
Howdy.
Yep. Well, here we are. My name is Jacob Smith. I'm the teaching pastor here at our Grace Southwood campus. And I just want to welcome you to Grace. If you're new here, we are especially grateful that you've joined us this morning as we sing to the Lord, as we worship our God, and as we hear from his word. But more specifically, this morning, it's a little bit different than our norm because whereas normally we would spend the next, 30 to 35 to 40 minutes hearing from the word of God, instead this morning, we are focused more on what God has done in the lives of two people for the 11 o'clock, specifically a young woman named Kaylin and a young man for sure named Nathan. Yeah, yes. Young at heart and in body. So I'm very excited. I'm overjoyed. This is really the culmination of multiple weeks for me where I've been getting to meet with different individuals. We had five young women get baptized in the 9 o'clock service. And so for me, just selfishly, I have enjoyed the last few weeks of getting to sit down and talk with all these different individuals, hearing how the Lord has moved powerfully in their lives. And so I'm excited for us to all get, briefer versions of those stories right here. That's why this thing is here, in case you were wondering. You're like, oh, okay, yeah. There's water, and it's warm, okay? So don't worry, you don't have to feel bad for them. It's not freezing yet. But this morning, we're entering into this time of baptism, not because it is in any way salvific, right? Not because it is some step you have to take in order to enter the family of God, but simply because it is a practice, it's an illustration that we've been commanded to use and to follow as believers from the beginning of the church. When Jesus Christ left this earth, when he ascended to heaven to prepare a place in his father's household for all of his disciples, for all of his followers, he told them, he says, I want you to go and I want you to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey the commands that I've given you. That's why over the last few weeks, we've been talking really specifically here at Southwood about discipleship, about this process of how we should be people who follow Jesus and are disciples of Jesus, and yet we are also disciples who make disciples. We're followers who help others find and follow Jesus just as we follow him ourselves. And baptism is simply a part of that process. And again, it's not the ultimate. It is simply a demonstration. It's an outward demonstration of an inward reality. In the same way that many of us maybe, as we came in here this morning, we might be wearing a variety of rings on our hands, right? I know for me personally, I wear two rings every day. One is on my right hand, and it's an Aggie ring, and it shows everyone that, yes, I went to Texas A&M University, and I took at least 90 hours in classes, and that's a good thing, right? So people know, oh, he's an Aggie, and if I see him and he says howdy, I don't have to be freaked out. Like, it's just, that's part of his way. It's his culture. That's true. The other ring that I'm always wearing is my wedding band, right? And again, for those of us that are married, this is something that we all do. Like, we have some sort of ring that's on our finger, whether it's, made of metal, or maybe it's like, hey, I work out all the time and I'm really tough, so it's like rubber, and that's cool too. Good for you. We're so glad. We'd love to see you flex sometime because that's something. Sometimes people get like a tattooed ring around their finger. I always thought that was cool. My wife declined my request, so it's fine. I'm over it. It's 12 years ago, deep past. But we have some sort of ring, and that is something that is given to the other person in their wedding, right? So if you've attended a wedding, you maybe remember that, or if you had a wedding, that, yeah, there's this moment that comes where the couple exchanges rings. And I'll tell you that over 14 years of ministry, I've officiated a good share of weddings. And there's a lot of variety in those weddings. Even from when my wife and I first got married almost 12 years ago, there were things that we did or things that our friends did that for that time were like very normal. Like people, there was a lot more traditional stuff. Like you would have everyone in tuxedos, right? You'd have to go rent tuxes and all this stuff. And you'd have, very specific like rites and rituals maybe that you walk through in the ceremony. I had one of my good friends, when they got married, they had this, big jar and two little things of sand, and he poured in sand. He's like, I'm this sand. She's like, I'm this sand. And it's like, we are this sand, right? And it's great. They're sand now. It's so great. But that is something that, over the years, as I've been officiating weddings, I've actually seen a lot of changes, right? There's a lot of variation now in how people do, whether they structure the service a little bit differently. People a lot of times don't always use like traditional vows. They like they want to write their own, and it's super fun. There's variation. I co-officiated a wedding one time where the father of the bride was a pastor, and so he actually wanted to officiate part of the ceremony, so I did part and he did part, and he was doing kind of the fun part where they're sharing vows with each other and they're exchanging rings, and they get to that moment where, you know, the pastor says, or the officiant says, like, all right, it's, you know, I declare you man and wife, you may kiss your bride. And just as he was getting to that moment, and his daughter and his, you know, almost son-in-law were staring into each other's eyes and like about to kind of move towards each other, you know, eyes go, you know, and they're like getting to that moment, all of a sudden the dad was like, oh, wait, what? And he turned around. The ceremony was right in front of like a little pond, and he had actually hidden a little fishing rod at the edge of that pond, and he ran over and grabbed it and acted like he was pulling in a giant fish from the pond. Why? I don't know. It was, dads are weird. Like, that's just part of the thing. And so hopefully I haven't given too many dads an idea for their daughter's wedding, but that is just, it's different, right? There's a lot of differences and their variation within our marriage ceremonies. But one of the things that is so constant that I've seen time and time again, that many of us have seen time and time again, is this exchange of rings. And it's not because the ring itself makes you married, right? We recognize that in a marriage ceremony, when those people are stepping into a marital covenantal relationship with one another, the ring is simply a symbol. Right? It is an outward demonstration of an inward reality. This is showing the world around me that I am committed to walking through life alongside of this other person. This is a sign of our relationship and of our status with one another. Right? And it's not, so it's, this isn't something that makes me married. It's not like I'm married when I wear it, and then if I take it off, I'm like a bachelor and I want to buy a boat. What's going on? You know, but oh, okay. And then I put it back on. This is something that is a demonstration. It just is a display, an illustration, a sign of my marriage. In the same way, baptisms were established by Jesus himself, commanded by Jesus himself to the church to function as such a sign, as such a symbol. This is why the Apostle Paul, when he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write a letter to a church in Corinth, in ancient Corinth, he wrote them this letter in a time where they were very divided. They had a lot of issues and disputes in their midst. And over the course of these disputes and divisions that were popping up, Paul, inspired by the Spirit, writes this letter to essentially bring them back to unity, to bring them back to what matters most. And so right at the start of the letter, he spends some time calling them out, saying like, man, y'all are divided over this and that. Some of you say like, you follow this guy, or some of you guys follow that guy. And he brings them back to what is true, that the central pillar of their faith. And it's not a political ideology. It's not like a 10-step program to living a better life. It's not a certain, you know, mentality when it comes to family or work or relationships or anything like that. What Paul brings them back to is the gospel, is the good news of Jesus Christ. He says, you're acting like you're followers of that guy or this thing or that way of thinking. He says, but ultimately you are all followers of Jesus Christ. And that's what brings you together. It's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, he says that Christ, he says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but he sent me to preach the gospel, not with clever speech, so that the cross of Christ would not become useless. The Greek term there literally is that it would not be empty, that it would not be devoid of its power, emptied of its power. He says, I came to you not to go through these things. Did he baptize some people? For sure. But he's saying that's not what's ultimate. That's not what's most important. The eloquence that I use in my speaking, the illustrations I use, as you know, he says that's not what's important. What's most important, what's central to your life and to mine is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ would step out of heaven and onto earth, the God who took on flesh, and then he lived a perfect life that none of us could ever live. And he died a death that every single one of us deserved because of our sin, because of our mistakes. And yet because he died while still blameless in the eyes of his Father, that death, it worked as a sacrifice for us. And when he rose from the grave on the third day, he proved that this sacrifice was accepted, that this his power was greater than the pull, than the constraints of sin, than the constraints of death, that we no longer have to be fearful of what comes next, because if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, then we have an eternal relationship established between ourselves and our Heavenly Father that lasts beyond this world. That we can now be free from fear of death, we can be free of fear from sin, that we can instead, not by our accomplishment, not by our work, not by what we can do for God, instead we simply, by God's grace, through our faith in Jesus Christ, can be secure in that committed relationship with our Lord. And that's what we signify with baptism. That's why Kaylin and Nathan are coming to be baptized today, because they want to step out in faith and boldly declare to their community that they are committed to following Jesus Christ. And it's a beautiful thing, right? It's a wonderful demonstration. And it's something that I pray helps us all better appreciate who God is and what he's done. So as they come up, they'll be sharing a little bit about what God has done in their lives, and it's wonderful. But as I mentioned earlier, the goal is not for us to marvel at them. It's not to marvel at what they've done, at what they've accomplished, but instead it's an opportunity for us to marvel at our God who has done these great things, who's brought about this life-changing, eternity-altering transformation in their hearts, that they would give of themselves, that they would say, God, I can't make my way to you. I can't prove myself. I can't do enough. God, you didn't make this sacrifice so that I would do my part and to give and take. Instead, they're saying, God, I am hopeless and defenseless and useless apart from you. And so I want to give my life to you. I want to follow you all my days, because he's worthy of that praise. He's worthy of that life. He's worthy of that sacrifice. He's worthy of getting wet for a little while. But they brought towels, so don't worry. Right? So to begin this morning, we have Kaylin, who's going to join me up here. And as I said, she's going to share just a little bit about what God has been doing in her life to bring her to this point. Yeah.
Okay. Howdy.
Howdy.
Yeah, I didn't know if that would work, but okay. So my name is Kaylin. I attend Texas A&M, and I'm the class of 2025A. I've been a follower of Christ for as long as I can remember, but for many reasons or circumstances, my baptism was put on the back burner. Today, I want to change that. In January of 2020, I lost a close friend of mine and was reminded of how beautiful and precious life really is. I couldn't understand how something so horrible could happen to someone so beautiful and full of life. Looking back now, I'm really grateful for the way that I handled her passing. I fell into the Lord's arms instead of some easier, more desirable routes. I knew that I would never be alone, and my relationship with him would never break. I put my trust in the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord's only Son, Jesus Christ. He has sacrificed his life so that I and all of us here today could be forgiven for our never-ending sins and be granted eternal life. When I moved to College Station, I felt a lot like how I felt whenever my friend passed. I was very homesick, and I felt alone. Thankfully, though, I fell in love with the first church I attended. Hint, it's this one. and I was reminded that I am never and I will never be alone. I've been attending now for about 11 weeks because I'm a freshman and it's our 11th week. I've been enjoying it though. I'm here today because I want to take the next step of announcing and exclaiming my undying faith to our Lord and Savior, to everyone, through my baptism.
Happy 11th week. Glad you're here. Gosh, it just flies by, huh? Well, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, Kaylin, it's my joy and privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Awesome. There you go. I love that towel. Next, we have Nathan, who's been here a little bit more than 11 weeks. Maybe I'll share that, but here you go.
Thank you. All right. Hello, my name is Nathan McCoy. I have been a Christian for almost 30 years, so better late than never to get baptized here. I became a Christian. I'll tell you a little bit about how I became a Christian. Back when I was growing up in my family, where else most people grow up, my parents, we didn't really go to church, but a couple days a year for Christmas and Easter, and then occasionally, you know, beyond that. And then when I got to about sixth grade, they decided that, yeah, we'd start going to church regularly, which was great. And I went to church. I went to the original, in my mind, the original Anderson campus, and we were in these little portables for Sunday school. And when I was in school, I was kind of awkward, had a hard time around people. And then when I got in this new world of church, these are new people I didn't really know, so I had a chance to be someone different. And so I was able to be a little more outgoing. I could try this out, and they didn't know any better. And so I was like, sweet, I'll be outgoing. And so I was like that, and then it kind of grew from there into 7th and 8th grade through the junior high youth group, and then I got into 9th grade, and I was just high on the hog, like just loving it, because I was like, I can just be silly and be goofy. And, you know, was I paying a lot of attention to Rob Murphy, the youth pastor at the time? It's debatable, but I was there, and I was having a good time, and we went to this thing called the Dawson McAllister Conference, where it's just, you know, a bunch of churches come together. We go to this really big church, and we sit, and people talk. So I went, like, yeah, sure, it's the next thing we're going to do. Let's go. And so I went and went to the Dawson McAllister Conference, and we went in there. We were sitting in the seats, and someone was talking. And they had when the someone was talking, being Dawson, I sort of paid attention. And then they had this other guy come up who was like a magician and a comedian, and I whoop, and I paid attention. And then we sang songs, and we did all the moves, and I had a great time. And that was really enjoyable to me, and I really kind of gravitated towards that. And then you have multiple sessions, and then, like, I think it was on Saturday, we came back in. But because people had kind of moved around, we didn't have our seats. And this was one of those churches that had, like, choir seating up behind the stage. And so they ushered us back to that area. So our youth group was sitting up there. And then we were singing the songs, and I was just being a goofball and just not paying attention as much as I probably should have. And, like, the screen, you know, because we're now behind the screen, so all the words on the screen are backwards. So I'm having fun with this, trying to read all the words backwards while we're singing the songs. And this is what I'm focusing on. And then we sit down. Everybody sits down, and I'm like, okay, it's that time again where someone's going to talk. So we sit down. But, of course, I'm behind the stage, so I'm looking out at, like, the sea of humanity, kind of like I am now. I'm seeing all the faces in front of me, and I'm just people watching. And then they're talking, and I'm not really paying attention. And then a band comes up. They start playing music. It's slow music, but they're playing. And then I see some people standing up in the crowd. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is one of those songs where we stand up, right? But it's not, like, scripted that you're supposed to stand up. So, like, someone has to stand up first, and the people around start to stand up. And so I'm looking around me, and none of my friends are standing up. But I see more and more people standing up. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to be the first. And so I stand up. And as I stand there, and I'm kind of like, we're singing some song, and I'm reading the words backwards, and I'm kind of looking to my left and right. No one else is standing with me, but it's okay, you know, I'm committed now, so I'm staying here. And they keep talking, and then more and more people stand up, but not around me. I'm the only one standing in my area. And then they all start walking down to the stage, and I'm like, this is different. Like, what's going on? But no one around me still is standing up. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll be the first and people will follow me. So I kind of start making my way, and I'm making eye contact with people, and they're kind of giving me these kind of somber looks. And I'm like, oh, what am I doing? Like, I don't know what's going on. And so I just keep walking, and I walk down, and then all the people are gathering. There's lots of them now. They're all looking up at the stage, but I don't know. So I came down from stage left, and I'm standing on the outskirts because I don't know what's going on, and they're talking, and I'm still not really paying attention because I'm kind of looking up to see if anyone's following me, but no one is. So I'm down here on my own, my only person from the youth group, lots of people, all my social insecurities are just like going crazy. So I'm standing there, and then the guy's talking, and he literally like turns and points at me, and I realize I don't know what's going on. I don't even know what he's talking about. And then all the people standing in front of me turn and look at me. And I don't know what's going on. I'm totally out of my depth. And I realize they're not actually looking at me. They're looking past me. And I look over, and there's an exit sign and doors. And the doors open. And then, like, as I'm turning, I feel the pressure of people walking. So now I don't know what's going on. I thought I was on the outskirts. I'm now at the lead of the group going towards doors. I don't know what's there. And I start walking that way. And as we open up the doors, I see the college leaders on either side of the hallway. And I'm like, oh, show me a face I know. And there was a youth, a college leader. His name was Tudor Mayo. Tudor Mayo. Coolest guy ever. I love that guy. He's a college student, and he goes by the nickname Tudor. And I'm like, oh, Tudor. And so I walk to him. He sees me, and then we make eye contact, and I walk, and I go, Tudor, what's going on? And he goes, he looked at me, and he laughed. He goes, you don't know what you're doing here? I'm like, no, I have no idea. And he started laughing, and everyone in the crowd probably has figured out what's going on. This was an invitational to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I just, like, blind dog was just walking down. And so we go back, and he walked me through, and it was the gospel message, and I'd heard it before, but I'd never really paid attention to it because my focus was just on being silly and being kind of goofy. And so I heard it. It was the bridge gospel of that's what I grew up with. And so there's a giant gulf, and there's man on one side and there's God on the other, and it is impossible to get across. No matter what you do, no matter how far you jump, doesn't matter. Pole vault, not going to get there. Fly a plane, you run out of gas. You're not going to make it, okay? And the only way to do it is Jesus came and died and lived a perfect life, died on the cross and died for our sins, and he formed the bridge. And so in the little, you flip the page and the cross comes down and it forms the bridge across that gulf. And it just made sense. I'd heard it before, but it became real in that moment. And so that's when I became a Christian. And I walked out, and they're like, Nathan, you became it. I thought you were already Christian. It's like, yeah, go me. You know, like, it just was totally caught me off guard. And my life verse is Romans 8:28. All things work for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Because as my wife can testify, I'm not the best planner in life. But God does have a plan. And I can rely on that. I can rest in that and know that he's going to look out for me as long as I'm following him. So. Here I am.
Awesome. So you haven't heard anything I've said all morning, right? That's kind of, okay, good.
I've gotten there.
Just want to make sure. You do know why you're up here now. Okay. Well, Nathan, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, it's my joy and honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That was awesome, man.
I'm making lots of waves.
That's great, dude. No, it's good. There's no electronics. Man, well, that's, I mean, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for what he's done in the lives of Kaylin and Nathan. And what's so incredible is that if we were to, you know, pause the service, if we were just to say, hey, we're just staying here until 8 p.m., we could hear, we're not doing that, don't worry, but we could hear so many stories and so many experiences. My hope is that even as they were sharing, maybe for some of us, It brought us back maybe to those similar moments, to those similar experiences of remembering just what God has done on our behalf. I know for me personally, it's so easy for me to just kind of go through the rhythms of life and kind of, you know, do my, you know, church stuff, which for me is a lot because I work here. But, you know, do my church stuff, do family stuff, do friend stuff. And it's so rare for me to really just pause and slow myself down and marvel at the work of the Lord. But that's what this was. And I hope that this is something that helps us walk into the rest of this day, the rest of this week, maybe the rest of our lives, just knowing that it is so powerful for us to have these moments, to pause, to reflect, and to celebrate what God has done. So as we close this morning, we're going to be singing just a few more songs. And my hope, my prayer for us is that it wouldn't just be words that we're saying. It wouldn't just be a melody that we carry. But instead, that this really would be the natural right response between ourselves and a God who has done incredible things. That these words that we sing, that they would be really declaring the cry of our hearts. That we see our God for who he is, as the King of Kings, as the one with all power, as the one who deserves all glory and all honor and all praise forever and ever. And this time, we have an opportunity to come to him, to properly address him, to properly see him. And in doing so, what we find is that there's comfort, there's encouragement, there's strength that we gain by acknowledging and recognizing who God is and our place before him. The fact that those of us who call Jesus our Lord, who call him our Savior, that we can also call God our Heavenly Father. So as his children, we can come together, we can sing together, we can gather together, as the author of Hebrews says, we can join and congregate for the purpose of encouraging one another, of spurring one another on towards love and good deeds. So if you would, let's stand together, and as we prepare to sing, let's pray and ask the Lord to put our hearts and our minds where they belong. God, we thank you for the way that you have worked through Kaylin's life, through Nathan's life, God, through the lives of those who got baptized in the first service this morning. Lord, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in so many different ways, whether it was through relationships, through reading your word, Lord, whether it was through family members or friends. God, we thank you that you have chosen to move towards us. God, though none of us would seek after you on our own, while we were dead in our trespasses, that God, you sent Jesus Christ to die for us, that God, you've sent your spirit to bring conviction to our hearts, to draw us to yourself. So, Lord, we pray that you would keep our attention focused upon you, that God, you would stir our affections for you in your name's sake. If you would, just right now on your own, I'd ask that you would pray to the Lord and ask him to do just that, to center your attention on him, to pull your attention maybe away from the frustrations of yesterday, the fears of tomorrow, and instead you would be focused upon who he is, upon what he's done, and pray that he would stir your affections for himself, that your heart would truly rejoice in his presence, that your mind would truly be comforted knowing that he is God, that you are not, that he is in control, that he has a plan, that he has the power to change lives like the ones we just heard from. So if you would take this moment, pray that he would grab your attention, grab your affections, would guide you into this worship. Pray that now.